This is Don't Panic, episode number 404, episode not found. Recorded July 1st, 2025. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Don't Panic, the technology podcast that, maybe talks about technology. We'll find out. I'm Sean Jennings, joined as always on a two for Tuesday. Not only is it Tuesday, we got two co-hosts. We got Colby Ravidou and Dan Miller is back. Good evening, gentlemen. Happy July.
Yeah, crazy that it's July. Sorry, I'm very sleep deprived.
No, I don't think that's well on the spot anymore.
When was Dan's last episode before this?
That's a really good question, and one I could probably get the answer to pretty quickly.
I see April 23rd. April 23rd is the first YouTube thumbnail that I see Dan in.
Yes, I would agree. Episode 400.
That's crazy.
An auspicious
really? Episode. Because, yeah, we went. Did we go to the hospital 2 days later?
No.
Wait,
no, what? It was published on the 23rd, not recorded.
Oh,
on the 23rd.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, I'm pretty sure we were already at the hospital on the 23rd if she was born the 25th.
Yeah, I'm admittedly not great about getting these up very quickly. So it could have been a whole week prior to that. It wouldn't surprise me.
Sean's not meeting his SLAs.
No. And you know what's really funny is, you know, I produced Tomorrow Is Canceled for Matt and Friends, which I'm not on. And for some reason, Matt is always like, well, you're going to like publish it like today, right? And I feel bad. So I'm like, yeah, so theirs get published like instantly. And ours, it's like 3 weeks later. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Doesn't that
I guess
pay you to do this or anything, Sean?
No, he doesn't. I'm such That's a sucker. Weird.
Yeah.
The good news is they're pretty good. It's not honestly, not to get too into it, but now that the podcast software has AI in it, it does most of the editing for me. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. That would be interesting.
Oh, you hit one button and you say, oh, any pause longer than 2 seconds, get rid of, or drop ums and uhs and get rid of it, and balance the audio. And you just click a couple buttons and boom, it's great.
That's interesting.
Honestly, I don't know what you guys need me for anymore. You finally get rid of me after all these years. I know
no,
you've been
waiting. We need you for all the great ideas.
Oh, that's right. Yes. To be honest, I've never edited this show. It's been 12 years. Editing's a stretch.
Do you AI edit Don't Panic now? Or just,
I do. It's probably better edited now than it's ever been.
Wow.
The AI is doing a much better job than I do.
That's awesome. I now I want to listen to an episode and see what it's like.
I don't know that you'll. It does feel a little crisper, but I also say we've done this long enough. We don't really have long pauses or dead air. It's really helpful, like when Matt and I do the video game streams, and there's like spans where we don't talk because something's happening in the game, and it'll like rapidly. It'll cut like 10 whole minutes off the show of just silences, which is helpful.
That's cool.
Guys, what's going on? What is going on? I guess we have to start with Dan. Not that that's a bad thing. Dan, what's going on?
Yeah, a baby was born.
Woo!
Yes, which I'm trying to like think through this in a tech angle.
Honestly, you can just talk about it as a human being. I think we'd also accept that. That's okay too.
Yeah.
Because Colby and I, we talked about that a little bit in your absence. We didn't get into it. And it's on my list of things to eventually talk about is rebranding the podcast.
Oh.
Because I don't want
to see all these topics here. This seems like a new innovation. This evergreen topic list.
Yes, we've gotten through some of them and we keep adding more. But yes, eventually pivoting the branding a little bit away from technology and more towards life advice. But
I see. Old people podcast.
Well, listen, we're young people with old advice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We shouldn't get into it in the nitty gritty details. I feel like in the medical world, so one thing I learned, and this might be advice for everyone, and it applies to even not birthing things. I think I have this theory that I think most people they don't want the real truth, and this has manifested in a lot of weird euphemisms at the hospital. And so when we went to the hospital and we were sort of suddenly sent there, to elide a bunch of detail. And we saw a doctor, and the doctor was like, blah, 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 blah. We're going to admit you. And then like, and then the sentence ended. And I was like, it sounds like, because of the way you said it, that you've imparted, you believe that this has a lot of meaning, but I have no idea what this means.
Sure.
You know, it, to me, it sounded like a purely administrative matter, if you, whether or not you were admitted to the hospital. So I was like, what is it? Like, what do you mean when you say admitted? And they're like, oh, you're going to have the baby now. And I was like, oh, well, that's completely different than being admitted to the hospital. People are admitted to the hospital for all sorts of reasons. Right. yet, you know, it was said as if we were supposed to read between the lines and figure that out. And yeah, there were a couple other instances of that. So that was one like overall piece of life advice I had. It's like, I feel like, and I get it. Like, I think a lot of people are squeamish. I'm certainly somewhat squeamish, I would say. But it doesn't help like to not say what you mean, especially in situations like this, where I would hate for someone to get like the wrong idea about something and then be like, oh, you know, oh, when I said that, you know, you'll have to go through some life changes, I meant that you have cancer. Like, you know, that.
Yeah.
Like, just, yeah, that's not helping anyone, I don't think. So that was one thing. But yeah, the other thing is, more pregnancy specific, I think a lot of other medical things, it's like, oh, you broke a leg. Well, in the small, the details will differ, but in the large, you break a leg, you go to the hospital, you get surgery, and then you recover. And it kind of looks like that. But in the small and in the large, like, there's very little you can do to prepare for the birthing thing. And Lena and I, as you probably know, are people who love to be prepared for things, and we were still completely unprepared. In fact, almost nothing that we did to prepare, we even used at all, or even could have used. That is a way in which it was different. And that aspect of it, combined with everyone using euphemisms for everything, made it very challenging to actually figure out what's going on. Plus, here's the third thing that I learned. People talk a lot about, oh, if you have a kid, like, be prepared to not get any sleep, which is true. But what I didn't anticipate is, unless you're lucky, it's entirely possible, but by the time you had the kid, you already have not slept in 1, 2, or 3 days. And now you're not going to sleep even more. And that part was the part I was not prepared for. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. You bring the kid home and then you just don't sleep. And I'm ready for that. But I was not ready to face that down having not slept for 3 days. that was challenging. And you, even once the kid is born, like, here's the other misconception, I think, is like, oh, people were saying, oh, you want to stay at the hospital as long as you can because you have all this help. It's like, yes, you do have people taking care of stupid things in the beginning, like changing the diaper, but that's the easy stuff. What you also have is people coming in every 2 to 4 hours, checking your blood pressure and checking the baby and doing the hearing test and asking you questions and doing the follow-up. And so even if it was possible for you to sleep, you can't sleep. So yeah, that was that. I think one interesting tech thing at the hospital was that when your baby is born, they put this bracelet on, or anklet on, the baby. How did I discover this? I was so sleep deprived. It didn't occur to me that when the baby was screaming that I could walk around outside of the room. And so one of the nurses brought that up, and I was like, oh, and she's like, oh, but just don't go through those doors and don't go through those doors, because then the alarm will go off. Like, what? Because, yeah, if the baby leaves the thing, the alarm goes off to prevent, like, baby kidnapping. I don't know how often that actually happens, or if this is like a parent, you know, psychological assuage, you know, make people feel better because it's a thing you hear about in the movies. I don't know. But that was very surprising. And so, like, the thing needed to be deactivated whenever we would go to, like, a different room. There was, like, this whole, like Walmart, you're buying, like, the Nintendo Switch. Like, you gotta, like, demagnetize it and everything. That was very surprising. But it was also pretty dumb. Like, But I guess it's a hospital, and so it's not like they have tons of money. But I thought, well, why can't it be like Disneyland? Like, why isn't this like an RFID thing? And it can just be like, there's like a central command center that can clear like, oh, now like patient ID, blah, blah, blah is cleared for, you know, they're going to proceed at this. They have an appointment at this time.
But like you get a special RFID, and if they're going together,
right?
It's
if
okay.
We're together, yeah. Because actually, that's what it was. They were like, when you know all of this happens. Oh, I have another funny tech story actually with this. But yeah, at some point they're explaining to me what they were doing. Like, we're putting this on to make sure. I think she said to make sure she stays with you was the word that they used. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I wonder how that works. But no, it is not how it works at all. It just it buzzes if it leaves the like pregnancy unit.
Well, I'm surprised that wasn't like Disneyland and Upsal. I was surprised they were like, listen, you can be one of the parents who risks their kids getting kidnapped. Listen, we're not going to make you do it, but the good parents.
Yeah.
Can you put a price on your child's safety?
That's right.
There's a lot of that, but not at the hospital, thankfully. But the other thing on the sleep deprivation, living in not New York City or maybe Boston, you have to drive home. And I had heard people say like, oh, you'll never drive more carefully than when you're driving home from the hospital. I was like, oh, that makes sense because you have like this precious cargo. But no, at least for me, it was because I was so sleep deprived. I was like, I would not be allowed to operate heavy machinery right now. Yet you're just like, all right, bye.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like you don't get to choose when you leave. So it was like, all right, it's whatever. I don't know. Was it Monday, Tuesday? I don't remember. It's like Monday at 6:00 p.m. Bye. I'm like, oh, it's still Amazon rush hour, which was actually probably for the best. We just sort of sat there. But another funny tech story in the hospital was the baby is born and they plop it into this special machine. Which is both, it's like high tech, but also cutesy. So it has like this like LCD or like, you know, LED display. Well, that's not, it's a computer screen. And the computer screen is displaying a bunch of things, but also has a rainbow and like a whale on it that it's also choosing to display. And me being like totally shell-shocked. And, you know, there's all sorts of things that Lena's doing. And they're like, oh, you know, come meet the baby. But she has to stay in here. So you're just like sort of looking at her and you could put your hands in and stuff. And so a bunch of people were standing around and I was like, there was this number that was counting up. It was like 402, 403. And I was like, what does that number mean? They're like, oh, that's how old she is. 4 minutes and 2 seconds, 4 minutes and 3 seconds. I was like, oh, wow. Interesting.
What a philosophical moment. Time
you
stops
never
for no
contemplate
one.
That number being that small, that it would tick up in seconds.
That's where I'd be a bad doctor because I'd be like, she's that much closer to death. And then everyone would get really mad at me.
But yeah, that's what's new. And then like in the large, there's lots of other home improvement things that we can talk about when we transition to home improvement hour. But a lot of the baby tech stuff didn't end up being super useful, except the camera thing. Did I talk about the camera thing on here at all? The high-tech baby monitor, it points down at the crib. And at first I was like, oh, okay, this is like a bunch of extra features I'm never going to use. And I can look at it on my phone and that's what I'm actually paying for. But it is actually really interesting. The notifications, I haven't had the guts to do this yet, but I think if I could somehow rig it up so that when it tells me that Sophia is crying, that it notifies me, but otherwise I don't hear any sounds, I think that would be sufficient. Mm-hmm. Cause it's really fast at the cries and they'll even, if she's crying loudly enough, which she does. Oh, here's another funny tech story. Changing a baby or holding a baby when they're crying. Oftentimes this hand is near her head. And if I'm not careful and if she's really upset, the watch will go off and like, bing, exposure to noise levels for more than 30 minutes will result in permanent hearing loss. I'm like, fuck. How about the next 2 years? She's very loud. So that thing has worked really well. It also does a really good job of detecting when she goes to sleep. And at first I was like, who cares? Like, is this just like you know, some sort of nerd. You just want to have stats on everything. But it actually is really helpful to know in what direction your baby is trending. Like, when should you expect her to fall asleep? How long does she stay asleep for? If she falls asleep at 9 p.m., is she going to wake up in 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours? What was this week like compared to last week? And your doctor will ask questions about stuff like that. And I don't have to worry about keeping track of it as long as she sleeps in the crib. So yeah, the Nanit, N-A-N-I-T. Other things that we bought, I feel like were, you know, they did the job, but they weren't like uniquely useful. Oh, and today I got a fun heat map of where she sleeps on the on the crib.
I could use one of those for my mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, so I feel like you did an experiment like that
one. I did do an experiment like that. Yeah. Honestly, this is a great idea for like adults. Like, strap the camera to your ceiling and like have it monitor your
ceiling
movements
cat
in your I like it.
Ceiling cat.
Kids yeah. of all age.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, that is me. Oh, my phone battery, it like the baby, you spend a lot of time there's a lot of time in which you don't have time to actually do anything, but there's nothing going on. The baby's mm-hmm. sleeping, but you know if you move, you'll wake her up. And so you're just like, I'm just going to sit here. My phone, I have to charge my phone like 2 times a day now. I haven't had this since like college. YouTube Premium, incredible. I've never had YouTube Premium before. I know I'm late to the game on that.
Hell yeah.
A 2 a.m. lifesaver. Because I want to watch like Severance or something. I don't want to watch something serious because I'm like, in 2 minutes, this could all be over. And I don't want to watch Severance on my phone. That's depressing. But YouTube with no ads, you just click it, boop, and it just instantly starts. There's no like, oh, wait.
Can I let you in on a YouTube Premium secret?
Yes.
A hot tip. This is for the folks at home. Hot tip. Because I learned this later. There's actually 2 tiers of YouTube Premium.
Oh.
And they don't advertise it. They just advertise YouTube's Premium. But there's YouTube Premium and there's YouTube Premium Lite. And the difference is both have the ad-free viewing, which is the number one reason I got it. But the Lite does not include YouTube Premium, offline downloads, or background playback, which are all things I don't use. But it's half the price.
Now, I have been using the background playback quite extensively because one of the things I did, one of the reasons I'm using YouTube so much is a couple of days in, I was like, I have a lot of time too. I have like so much podcast time in theory. And so I started watching Critical Role, the most popular D&D podcast, each episode is like 3 to 5 hours long, and there's like 300 episodes. But if I have the video on, it destroys my battery. So I've been backgrounding it. It's been very helpful. I think you did tell me about this or someone, and I had forgotten about.
I figured out I paid for the full one for like 2 or 3 years before I found out because I never used any of that stuff.
It doesn't even show me.
It's like super hidden. Like, okay. I don't know where I found it. You got to dig into your Google account settings to find it. It's kind of a pain. But at $6.99 a month or whatever it is, I'm like, for no ads, that's a no brainer. I watch so much YouTube. YouTube, by the way, I don't know if we talk about this on the show. The most by minutes viewed thing on televisions in America, full televisions, not phones, full televisions, blows every other streamer out of the water.
It's crazy.
And what percentage of that is parents putting the thing on that just plays the AI generated slop videos?
Or what percentage of it is me watching videos about defunct theme park rides?
An article or just what someone told me that like there's YouTube Kids, which no adult would ever have any reason to use. But if you do turn it on, it's like video after video of inane AI generated things that are about nothing. There's like no discernible plot. It's just like images. I haven't verified this firsthand, but.
Well, I just put a line in our spreadsheet, the YouTube Kids Challenge. One of these weeks, I would love for each of us to go and like, we each have to watch like 2 or 3 hours of YouTube Kids Premium see.
You get strapped to your chair.
Right. Do we have to do it right before the show too?
And see how much stupider we get. I think it'd be a fun exercise.
Yeah, that's it. There's other home improvement topics, but That's I think
Dan, that's pretty much it. Dan, I had a question in the. So I also never considered that the not sleeping started at the hospital, but that if you really think about it, it makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
But
even before the baby's born, I accepted oh, you're at the hospital, you're up all night. But labor can last a long time.
If there was hypothetical downtime, is there a place you could have slept? Like where would you have slept?
So at least at the hospital we were at, it was barely better than a bench, I would call it. It got to the point where at one point I was because they kept saying to Lena, get rest while you can, because maybe later on you won't be able to get any rest. And I was like, well, I can't get any rest. So should I just go home for 6 hours and then come back? Because at least I get 6 hours of sleep. And they're like, it's not a good idea. But I considered it because, it was I don't know. It looked plush. It had that fake leather plush. It was the entire wall was these segments of fake leather plush about 3 to 4 feet wide. But it was this thick. And it had these huge gaps in it, the anti-homelessness thing. But I'm this is a birthing room. I don't understand why this needs to be so terrible. So that was one reason why I didn't get any sleep or that much. I got I got 3 to 4 hours of airplane sleep a day. And then when someone comes in, right? And they're going to come in, they're going to check the blood pressure, blah, 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 blah. They're talking you're going to get up. It's not like someone's in the other room talking about their 401k. It's pretty, you're invested in the outcome. So that also affects the non-birthing parent, the cavalcaded people coming in and out.
I don't spend a lot of time in hospitals, thankfully. But the last time I did, for someone who was an inpatient, two interesting things occurred that struck me that I think are relevant to this. One is there was a things to do guy who had a cart, and this guy, he was a volunteer. He would wheel around a cart, and the cart would have puzzles and crosswords and cards and crayons and pens. And he'd be looking for something to do. And that was his whole job, was just handing out activities to people, which I thought was very nice.
Interesting.
The other thing was, I was shocked to learn in a hospital, other than the baby area, you can just walk anywhere you want. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
I could, 'cause I got lost. And so I was walking in various wings and things, trying to find the cafeteria. And I don't
John's
know
where, new American restaurant, various wings and things.
Yeah, wings and things. I was in the, it was like, oh, it's like, is this rhinoplasty? Where the hell am I? And nobody nurses and doctors, nobody batted an eye. I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. And so I was surprised that anyone can just sort of, maybe that's just my local hospital. Anyone could just walk in.
Another hospital thing, I don't know if all hospitals have this, but near... And I think this is kind of stupid in an urban hospital, because the urban hospital has a parking garage. It's not like a giant parking lot. On the first floor of the parking garage, there is no parking spaces except for the police parking spaces and the new parents, or not new, whatever they call it. I forget. They had some sign for people picking up their infants or something like that. And so one of the things I was thinking about holding onto as a North Star, I was at the end of this, I'll get to use one of those fucking parking spaces. I don't have to drive down the five things. But you're already parked 5 levels deep in the parking garage, and there's an elevator right there. So what are you going to do? Go down, bring your car up, and then it saves you no time. So I didn't do it. But on the way, we had forgot something at the hospital. So on the way back, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to park in one of these because I didn't get to use it 90 minutes ago when I was last here.
Good for you. As is your right.
Yeah, it was one of those things where every time because we go to this hospital all the time for the appointments and stuff, and every time I was like, yes, that's so cool. I'm going to use one of those parking spaces. And then when it actually came time to use it, I realized how useless it was. Yeah.
Wow, you had a real life experience.
Yes. There's even more. that we can talk about off air.
So the juicy stuff's on our Patreon. You'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, Lena's parents are here, which is great. Highly recommend if you ever do this and you have
hiring Lena's parents.
Yeah. I mean, they might not even charge for it. So like you're so low energy. This was the downside of having Lena's parents. I didn't anticipate. You're so exhausted that you're not going to like go for walks, never mind go to the gym. Yet because Lena's parents were there, I was getting stuffed with food. And so that quickly became an issue after a couple of weeks. I was eating way too well for the next to nothing that I was doing.
That's the same reason I don't go to the gym.
Yeah.
My baby's just, I'm just exhausted. So
it's because you're a good parent. That's what
Listen, I except for when I try to pick up my baby and he attacks me.
That's what Sophia was doing earlier.
Yeah,
if we had the call at 5:05, we would not have been able to say hello. She was not happy. And, oh, that they come out with sharp nails is so insane, but it is true. I read that and I was like, doesn't really make sense. But they also come out like jagged, which I guess makes sense. They're not like perfectly manicured. It was, it hurts.
It's weird.
It was very surprising.
If you never cut your nails, would they still be jagged? I guess they must be, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
I guess it depends on how you're using them, right? Yeah. If you're using them to tear apart your victims.
A lot of this.
Well, it sounds like that's what Sophia's doing.
Hey, watch out for your eye, Dan. She might take it out.
She's almost taking out her own eye. That's the other terrifying thing, is that she doesn't know not to scratch herself.
Well, excellent. Well, congratulations. That's all wonderful. I'm sure we'll get a long series of continuing updates on as more develops in this story.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I know the other big story we're tracking here on the show is Colby's ongoing home construction. We've got walls. We've got the start of roofs. Now, have we named the property? You know, because it's like the blank project or like the, you know, something we should refer to it as.
So one thing we were experiencing that was bothering Laura more than me, I think. But the, you know, like you tell people, oh, we're building this house. And they would say, like, oh, my God, are you ready to like leave the city and like move to Rhode Island? Like, no. No. And also, like, we just can't right now. It's not.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. So my uncle, when I was growing up and I heard about the cabin, they just called it the cabin, which is underselling it. So I think you need to find something like that that evokes. It's not a house. So you need to evoke a different thing. And it's fine if it ends up being more than that. Then you show up and people are like, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was having this conversation with at lunch at work. And one of the people at work had gone to Newport the week before. He was like, oh, you know, the Rockefellers or whatever, when they would go to their Newport cliffside mansion overlooking the ocean, they call them cottages. And so I think that's what we've settled it on, is it's the cottage.
Cottage. I like that. I like that a lot.
Colby Cottage. Yeah, that sounds great. Now you can get into cottage core.
Totally. Yeah.
Surely some of these like architects and stuff, they've gotten that brief before. I want cottage core.
Cottage.
Yeah.
I don't know. We definitely didn't think of that beforehand. I don't know if it quite counts as
more Colby core than anything else. Or maybe more Laura core. I'm not sure.
No, I like that brand. That's good.
Yeah. I forget what. It was just, there was one weekend where I went back and forth to Rhode Island like 5 times in 10 days. And like Laura came a couple of the times and we had to like meet with people. Like we had to meet with the electric guy and then we had to meet with the contractor and then we had to go to the cabinet store and then we had to go to some like lawyer's office in central Rhode Island to like sign our closing papers and stuff. And I think that was the span in which was like, I can't have this conversation again. Like, well, no. Not yet. So, but we survived that.
At some point, is like someone from the bank going to come by and be like, yep, that's a house. Check.
Well, the weird thing about, so we closed on this loan and they gave us no money. Like I've been lent $0 so far. And there's like a series, there's like a schedule. And so like once like some stuff is done, you can tell them and they send out an inspector dude to do exactly that. Say like, yep, the walls are up. And then they'll give you some of the money. And then there's like a series of steps like that where they give you some of the money. And then once it's done and the building inspector comes, then it's done and they give me the rest of the money, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember what happened.
You're just hoping in the end everyone gets what they're supposed to and you end up with a house and a mortgage.
Yeah. It's weird. That was a whole thing because it's like only local banks do those loans. So like it wasn't like you could go to your neighborhood like Chase Bank or something. We had to go to Rhode Island and they have terrible computer systems and like I like had to open a checking account with that bank and like their online banking, like I can't figure out how to transfer money out of the fucking account.
Are you sure? Now Rhode Island is famous for its mafia connections. Yeah, you sure this was like corruption, not a loan shark kind of front?
No. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I feel like once I receive some money, I'll feel more sure.
It's probably legit. I did hear, not to tell. Have you ever had something so embarrassing happen to you that you would never tell anyone it happened to you?
I can't say.
Well, I am not asking for your examples. I respect, but I had a coworker tell a story in a meeting the other day with a bunch of people, and apparently he's told it before, of a time when he received a phishing text message claiming to be like the head of our company saying, "Hey, I need you to go to the store and buy gift cards." He went to the store. He bought gift cards. No. He sent them to the scammer and then realized it wasn't legit. But why would you ever tell anybody? Like, that to me is a level of, like, it's not funny. It just kind of makes you look really stupid.
Maybe your security department said that they would not fire him if he tells the story at every meeting once a year.
It's got to be. Because he was trying to laugh it off. Like, ha, can you believe I did that? And I'm like, no, actually, I cannot believe you did that. And now I think less of you. And so no offense to him, but I'm like, is there something in my life that's, like, so shameful? Yeah, well, that's basically, now, by the way, I didn't think he was the smartest guy before, but I'm like, why would you like make that a story you tell people? So anyway,
I mean, maybe Dan's right, is like the security department is giving him kickbacks because it really is like a nice guerrilla way to, like, you know, it happened once, but if
listen,
he tells
that's a pretty
everyone,
serious punishment,
right?
If the company said, like, Sean, story, we're gonna fire you, or you have to constantly tell everybody how stupid you are, I might be like, I'm not going to work here anymore. I might just pass on that and say, no, I'm going to go.
Did he buy the gift cards with, like, company funds?
Oh, with his personal money. Oof. That's he got at, like, 6 in the morning, he went to CVS. And the guy at CVS was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, it's my boss. like our boss would ever even do something remotely close to this.
The guy at CVS knew.
Oh, my God. Too funny. Well, excellent. Well, glad progress is happening there, at the cottage. Hopefully we'll continue to get some updates there.
Yeah. I'll send you more pictures. My dad's video updates. We get one a week, one video update.
Can we get a blog going? Can we get Scott's blog going?
So my dad is officially retired. He retired in June at the beginning of June, and he claims that he wants to start a blog as a one of his retirement projects. So
I would be his first follower.
Is he still going to do that thing with the cars and the driving? I forget what it is.
The road rally thing?
Yeah, that sounds right.
He has done that a few times since the first time he did it. So maybe. He does have a car. He got an old car. Like, he got this, like, 80s Mercedes with a steering wheel that is, like, the size of a school bus's steering wheel. It's very weird.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But, yeah, so he when that thing is running correctly, he has done a couple rallies. But we'll see.
What a hoot. I would like to ask you guys for some help. Are you feeling in a creative mood?
Yeah, man. Extremely.
So I tend to find myself in my life in situations that I don't know how I got there, but I'm there. And I have to do something about it. I have somehow been roped into running a pet adoption and fundraising event for my company. And I don't know what that means. I assume we'll have animals there for adoption. But beyond that, that's about as far as I've gotten. And so I was curious if you guys saw like a flyer for a local pet adoption and fundraising event. What would you expect it to be? What would you expect to have there? What would make you want to go?
That's the wrong question.
Okay.
What, isn't it? What would make you come to a pet adoption event?
Well, but here's my fears. I'm concerned if it's just an adoption event, because you're limiting it to people who would, like, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you're in a position right now to adopt a dog or an animal. and but I would still want you to come to the event.
I see.
So that's where the fundraising part comes in. Like, what else could there be other, like, you can see the animals that are up for adoption, but
was going to be my point is I think you would still, your target audience would be people who like pets.
Yes.
Would be people likely to donate. And yes. So seeing animals and possibly hanging out with them and petting them, that could be a big draw for you might get a target rich environment, as they say, if you had those people in a room.
I agree.
Yeah. Like that, some sort of pet meet and greet. Adoptable pet meet and greet.
Blind dating, but it's cats.
Speed dating.
We want people to have fun. That's what I meant. Yes.
We want people to have fun at this and not get attacked. No, we'll definitely have pets up for adoptions, but I'm thinking, like, should it be like a bouncy house or like a food truck or like what else could I like throw in to turn it into an event?
I mean, food trucks are always fun. You do a raffle.
Raffle? Okay, what could we raffle? It can't be dogs. I don't think we're allowed to do that.
Not dog. What about like pets.com? What's the Chewy gift cards or something?
Okay, like that.
Then that implies that the people there already have pets.
I think people, but that's the thing, is I'm good if people have pets and want to come anyway.
That's true.
People who have pets are already, they're a sure thing, right? They already know.
They're already in the ecosystem. They might want more.
Exactly.
Right. You already have three cats. What's the fourth cat?
But they say when you get the second cat, they entertain each other.
That's right.
They do say that.
Would you want to come and help sell some pets? You're a natural pet salesman.
He's thinking so.
I mean, what I want you guys to take away from this is this is my life.
This is how much effort I have to put into thinking about anything
right
now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't there an episode of Parks and Rec about this exact thing where April has to put on a pet adoption event?
That sounds about right. And maybe I will have to go and watch that. I'm sure there'll be great advice in that comedy show.
You never know. I mean, lots of people have watched the show. Maybe that's what, that's what people expect from there.
Now, ultimately, all fundraisers boil down to you're going to give me money and in exchange, you're going to get something or you're going to get the chance at something. It's one of those two things. And so that's the fundamental question is, what are people giving you money for? it can't be for pets because there's only so many pets, and not everyone will be in the position to adopt a pet.
That's right.
Yeah. What are the funds for?
Well, they're for my landscaping. No. It's a good question. We gotta raffle something, sell something, find ways to bring in dollars.
No, but I mean details aside, like, what are the dollars? Where do the dollars go? Who gets?
Oh, they'll be donated to probably. I mean, the goal is probably to get two or three local adoption groups to each bring out a couple of adoptable animals, and the money will probably go to them.
Could you do so? Like when humans have fundraisers, they're like, oh, you're buying a table, and
okay.
Could you do that? So you could do that, but then could you do that? But it's for the people's pets. So it's like a gourmet dog dinner. You get this like five, you get to watch your dog eat this five course dog
okay.
meal.
Okay. Okay.
And it costs you $100. Or
I thought you were going to say that you could buy the naming rights to the dogs people adopted.
you can adopt this one, but its name is Frank.
Yeah. Oh no, it's the name of the business who sponsored it. You know?
This is OMG Woofing.
This is meet my dog, Atlantic Bolt and Tool.
That's really good.
Nice. I should be writing this down. This is gold.
I do like the idea.
Only thing I have on my desk to write on.
Oh no.
I gotta file
two
that
celebrities,
somewhere.
As Lena's parents said.
I do like the idea. Like, I don't know how it would work, but I do like the idea of like some kind of play on the like charity gala dinner format where you.
Oh yeah, all the dogs show up and they're dressed up, and you have like a Met Gala esque like red carpet, and you have a photographer there.
Dog fashion show. Right.
That's a good idea. Called the Pet Gala.
I like this. I like this. I do love the idea of pet pictures. Actually, that's a really good one. Because I think people would pay for that.
I've also noticed like people love in Seattle these like next Saturday at whatever park, it's the pug meetup. We're trying to get the most pugs in one place in history or something like that. People love to bring their pets where there is like photo ops with other pets.
That's true.
Yes, I definitely think people can bring their pets. I definitely think that's part of it. Now, do you think we could advertise, like, come meet celebrity podcast co-host and future cottage owner Colby Rabideau? We'll be there signing autographs.
I mean, maybe.
But you're going to say you could get an animal celebrity there somehow.
Well, that's what I mean. We're back to Parks and Recs again, but like, who's the little Sebastian of
Western Massachusetts? Yeah, that's a really good question. You know what it is? Gary Rome is the local car dealer. Like he's the biggest where I bought my car, and he has two dogs in all of his commercials. And I met the dogs when I bought my car, and it was literally the highlight of the experience was meeting the dogs from TV because they're in all his commercials. And boy, man, that could really get some attention going.
Hey,
that's
free advertising for them. So you know why not?
Well, that's
just do it.
Yeah. They built a huge car wash at their dealer facility, and it includes a dog wash. You can go get your dog wash there. So this is great. I should run more ideas off you guys. This is a creative powerhouse. Great. Well, listen, if anyone out there is interested in adopting a pet from a corporation, please come on out. This is going to be
a dog wash thing. Isn't a bad idea either. Get like one of those. I don't know if they have those in there, but they have these like vans that do
the
like,
mobile
dog
groomers.
Grooming. Yeah. Just get one of those to camp out there, do an upcharge, and all the proceeds go to charity.
I mean, I could just get a hose.
Yeah. Sean will hose down your dog.
$5. $5. I'll spray your dog with a hose.
I mean, charity car washes or like car wash fundraisers.
Yeah, charity pet wash. Come have your pet washed. Boy, that is creepy. I do not love that.
Some sort of pageant. You could do like one of the Thanksgiving thing.
Sure. We do like a fashion show or something maybe with a runway.
Yeah. And have the different breeds and have the awards.
They're in Somerville, there's a Somerville Dog Festival, and they have like an agility course, like for dogs.
Oh, yeah,
there you go.
Kind of specific to dogs.
Sunday, be there for Dog Fest.
Yeah, it's a big deal. They take it seriously.
We will not. So look forward to that early September, the pet adoption event, TBD. I will report back on how that goes. Hopefully we'll adopt some animals. Cool. Well, what else is on your guys' mind for this evening? Dan, I do want to mention there was one topic that came up on the show in your absence that I think is really important that you're aware of. It was a pretty hot topic.
Okay.
And that you need to be looped in. It's taken a life of its own. It's taken the internet by storm. It even has its own name. It's called Colby Sweet Sip. Okay.
I was wondering about what the fuck this was about.
Okay. Well, everyone's talking about it. Everyone is talking about it, mainly because I make them. And so it is this. Well, Colby, why don't you explain what the Sweet Sip concept is?
Okay. I mean, you've been to Dunkin' Donuts, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever gotten an iced coffee?
Yes.
And like, what's your iced coffee order?
So what I do, I don't have one, but what I know is I never remember that I need to change it, and I get it and it's way too sweet. So there probably is an order out there for me. I just
got it.
I never remember. Right,
so you get regular, which is too much cream and too much sugar.
Yes, definitely too much sugar.
Right. So you know how like at the bottom, you know, the sugar is at the bottom, right? It's like granulated sugar. And they sort of give it like a token
cursory
swirl. Yeah. Right, a cursory swirl. But like they're not standing there for 5 minutes to dissolve all the sugar in the bottom.
No, it's not put in a blender.
Right. Position. I customize my coffee, so like it is not that much sugar in my coffee. However, my position is that like the sugar at the bottom of the coffee is a feature. It's like a little, you know, you like, I like it. Like I get a nice coffee from Dunkin' Donuts with sugar, so I get, there's that sugar at the bottom, and I can take little like sweet right, as Sean
the Colby Sweet Zone. Like,
you know,
now mind you, they have liquid sugar.
Are you modulating in and out the sweet zone to like customize how sweet each sip is?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's like, you know, the first like third of the coffee, all of the sugar is consumed, and then it's just like unsweet, like largely unsweetened.
So you're staying
coffee.
Down there.
Yeah, I just like I like the little bump at the bottom.
A little hit.
Yeah. It is like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the craziest things I'd ever heard in my life. And so I promised on the show I would take a general temperature of the public. I asked anyone I could find, and the results were overwhelmingly that is an insane thing to do. But Dan, we haven't gotten the most important person's opinion, which is yours. Is the sweet sip a good idea, or has Colby really lost his mind?
Well, I mean, I don't. Sean, have you ever had bubble tea?
I have never had bubble tea.
Okay, but bubble tea has the same sort of thing going on, where they, no matter how vigorously they mix it, the bubbles will eventually sink to the bottom. And so, like, I think this is good and bad, and I think the sweet sip has the same things going for it and against it. The good thing is you know exactly where the bubbles are. The bad thing is if you're not careful, you will drink all the bubbles, and then you've had half your thing and there's no more bubbles left.
That is true. That's the biggest problem with bubble tea is the like managing your bubble to tea.
But how come you don't feel that way about the sweet sip?
Because I don't actually like sweet iced coffee. I just like, I like to have the little sugar, and then it's done, and I can have like normal iced coffee.
Like you describe it as though you're suffering through the sweet sip to get to the normal coffee.
No, it's not suffering. It's just part of the experience. You know,
a little hit of the sweet, and then you mild out with the rest of the unsweetened coffee.
See, if it were me, I would definitely be, and this is probably just the way I am, I would be trying to make it so that there's always some sugar left on the bottom until the very end, so that I'm like hitting this perfect, you know.
Yeah, but can I offer you curve? Like an an alternate on that would be to use liquid sugar, which can then be mixed and distributed throughout the drink, so it's sweet.
Oh, wait, so are you asking for solid sugar explicitly, Colby?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that part.
Well, yeah, solid sugar.
He likes the granules.
Oh, wow, okay.
At least it
so when you said you customize it, this was one of the things you're customizing is what type of sugar is used.
Yeah, I mean, solid in these parts, solid sugar is always the default. This is a problem I had in Poughkeepsie because they would put like liquid sugar in your coffee by default.
I see. Interesting.
That was unwelcome.
So in the Dunkin' Donuts app, which I've never used, but I imagine there's a taxonomy for the different things you can customize about a coffee. Do they make affordances for this aspect?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, okay. you. What do they call it? Like,
sugar and liquid cane sugar. It defaults to two sugars on a medium, three on a large, granular. And so,
but the number of sugars is one aspect, but then also the type of sugar is a separate aspect.
Because you can get sweet and low and equal and Splenda or whatever. Like, you can get alternate sugars. There's usually like six options.
Yeah. Wow. And then there's like sweet and oh my God. The I'm going to send you a screenshot of there's so many, there's a lot of parameters.
I get the granulated sugar in my hot coffee because it dissolves in the heat and it's not in there anymore. But in a cold coffee, it doesn't. True. It'll just hang out at the bottom.
I will admit I've never thought this much about sugar before.
Well, Dan, I'm going to get us hats made, and in the Dunkin' Donuts color and font, it's going to say the Sweet Sip trademark.
It is a good name. It's an excellent name.
You know, like, oh, by the way, this really pissed me off. Sorry, this is a slight pivot. So Dunkin', like, constantly has rotating item menus and specials and things. They just came out with a Sabrina Carpenter, like, collab, right? Now, Dan, I know you're a big Sabrina Carpenter fan.
Never heard of her.
No, she did that song, Espresso. My Espresso. It's a very popular song. It's called Espresso. Guess what her Dunkin' Donuts collab beverage is?
A chai latte.
It is a strawberry refresher with a little bit of oat milk in it.
Yeah, that's tragic.
No coffee involved.
Now, does Dunkin' Donuts sell espresso? Like, can you get a shot of espresso at Dunkin' Donuts? Okay.
Yeah, they do all
I've
those.
I've never heard of anyone ordering one, so I didn't know. Yeah.
I feel like I've seen, once in a while, you're in a Dunkin' Donuts and someone is ordering one. And like, it seems
some
like
hapless Italian wanders in off the airplane.
Right. It seems like they've never been in a Dunkin' Donuts before. Wasn't there like last year or 6 months ago or something? Wasn't there a different Sabrina Carpenter? Like,
there was. It was a shaken espresso drink, right, which made so much sense. And then it was like, no, it's her like strawberry fruity frothy beverage. And I'm like, huh, okay, that's cool.
A quick Starbucks update. In my local neighborhood, which you've both been to, a new Safeway opened up across the street from the Starbucks, and in the Safeway is a Starbucks. And they've both remained open for almost 6 months now.
Have you like you kind of competed them against each other?
We
like
have ordered from both. It's the good and bad thing about Starbucks is it's no different. I think the one in the Safeway has slightly fewer options, but
I would think it's less busy inside the Safeway.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, crazy. Capitalism. Who'd have thunk?
I just can't believe there would be a lot of Starbucks in Seattle. That's crazy. They're opening new ones there?
Yeah.
Didn't think that was possible. Well, wonderful. Well, guys, we're coming up at the top of the hour here.
Yes.
I know Dan has nothing else to do with his life, so I'm sure you'd hang around if you could. But is there anything else on your mind before we...
No, I added a topic. One thing I did over the in between screams and feeds was convert everything from Homebridge to Home Assistant, which we can talk about. I didn't get it, and now I think I get it.
I would like to talk about this because I feel like having a part-time house is gonna. I'm really going to up the stakes for my home automation stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You're going to have a yard. You're going to have have a lot of opportunities.
You're going to have Ethernet in every room, right, Colby?
There's going to be some Ethernet, yeah.
Okay, all right, good, good, good.
No, this is great. We got a fantastic rundown. Folks are going to definitely want to come back because we got some great stuff to talk about coming up. Before we do that, ultra quickly, I do have to tease over on Up for Debate. We're continuing our playthrough of Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. We are going live tomorrow with the finale. Though the podcast feed isn't, surprisingly, as previously mentioned, a little bit behind because I'm not fast about posting episodes. So you should watch live over at twitch.tv/upfordebateTV and follow us there. Of course, get the podcast wherever you get podcasts. And coming up after that, guys, we are watching 2000s movies to find the most 2000 movie. I just sent Matt a proposed list of some of the movies we could do. And it's a total everything from Dodgeball, XXX, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Twilight, Speed Racer, a great collection of movies between 2000 and 2010. So that'll be coming up later on. I'll also tease Tomorrow is Canceled, which is the show Matt does with his buddies. I think it's a really good show, actually. If you're into video games, anime, comic books, those sorts of things, it is a really fantastic show. Over at tomorrowiscanceled.com or wherever you get podcasts. It's a lot of fun. Check that out. And of course, our podcast is Don't Panic at don'tpanic.io, the website with all the links to the audio and the video on YouTube. If you're like Dan and you listen to your shows in the background on YouTube, you can listen to us there. Of course, also in your podcast app, just search for Don't Panic. And of course, email us don'tpanicshow.com if you have opinions or topics you'd like us to discuss. That's a great place to get a hold of us. But I think that's about it here. So on behalf of Colby and Dan, I'm Sean. Appreciate you being here. We're going to see you next time for another thrilling hour of Don't Panic.
This has been a Coffee and Beer production, executive produced by Dan Miller, Colby Rabideau, and Sean Jennings. To learn more, visit coffeeandbeer.tv.